live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, as the row over fishing rights around Rockall continues, Donegal fishermen fear their business could be in jeopardy. There are concerns over a potential threat to more post offices in Donegal after a decision by Am Post to close the one in Kilcar. It's understood that following an extensive discussion on today's 9 till noon show, Irish Water is now investigating the possibility of allowing a left turn at the junction of Pierce Road and Paddy Hart Road. And a 21-year-old man has been arrested today in the Craigan area of Derry under the Terrorism Act. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, as the row over fishing rights around Rockall continues, Donegal fishermen fear their business could be in jeopardy. Negotiations between the Irish and Scottish governments are continuing after Scotland last Friday threatened enforcement action against Irish fishing vessels found to be within a 12-mile radius of Rockall. On today's 9 till noon show, Donegal fisherman Adrian McClenaghan, who has been fishing at Rockall for the past 20 years, said the Rockall fishery is very important to the local fleet.
The Scottish says that they will have a fisher patrol vessel there on Saturday evening, and they'll be arresting any boats that's in the vicinity. But they've never done that. Like we remained there, and the Scottish didn't send a boat, and then the two governments went into negotiations on Monday on it.
Yeah.
And at present there are ongoing negotiations on the situation.
Because even if you were sort of had the backing from the Irish government, if you were boarded, if you were arrested, even if nothing came from that, it would take you your business out of commission for God knows how long. So the implications would be massive. Plus, no one wants to have to go through that.
Well, you see, that's the problem I had with remaining there. Like, at the end of the day, was that if my boat, the Scottish, decided to go ahead and come into the area and decided to arrest us, they would take us to Campbelltown in Scotland and detain us, and my whole business would be in jeopardy. Then, like, I'd have to go through the court cases and EU court cases, and you could end up 4 or 5 years going through legal cases on it. Like.
Meanwhile, Marine Minister Michael Creed is being asked to come to the Shannon to clarify the role of senior members in the 2013 agreement between the British and Irish governments establishing a single maritime boundary between their exclusive economic zones and part of their continental shelves. Senator Padraig McLaughlin says a consequence of that agreement is that regardless of whether Ireland recognises British sovereignty over Rockall or not, it falls within the UK's 200-mile exclusive economic zone. Senator McLaughlin also wants to know if the Scottish Government had commenced correspondence about Rockall during the progress of recent sea fisheries legislation.
Earlier this year, we debated the Sea Fisheries Amendment Bill, which was seeking to give UK registered vessels access to Irish fishing right into the shoreline. It was pushed through under the premise that it would build relations in terms of access to fishing waters after Brexit. The fishing representatives are now asking serious questions about when the correspondence started from the Scottish Government threatening to enforce a 12-mile limit around Rockall. Was that correspondence taking place at the same time this legislation was being put through? And if so, why were the opposition parties not made aware of it? And why were the fishing representative organisations not made aware of it? I also think it's critical that the Minister come before this House to clarify the 2013 agreement, which has now come to public attention. Everybody was puzzled why a usually prudent SNP government in Scotland were taking these measures. And it turns out that they're based on a 2013 agreement signed by an Taoiseach, Eamon Gilmore, at the time that your colleague, now Taoiseach, Simon Coveney, was the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, basically recognising the Rockall area as under a UK economic exclusive zone, recognising it formally. So in other words, we have vindicated in 2013, under senior government representatives, the British claim to the fisheries around Rockall, and given the Scottish Government the legal basis to threaten to remove Irish boats.
Highland Radio understands that following an extensive discussion earlier on today's 9 till noon show, Irish Water is now investigating the possibility of allowing a left turn at the junction of Pierce Road and Paddy Hart Road in Letterkenny. Businesses in the town say they are at their wits' end as a result of the roadworks being carried out by Irish Water, with a downturn of up to 30% being reported. Leonard Watson is president of Letterkenny Chamber. He says they decided to go public with their concerns because of the very real threat to business and jobs which exists at the moment. He says the Chamber, the Council and others have a job to do to restore confidence in Letterkenny.
It's all about bringing confidence back to town. You know, at the end of the day, we've been saying the last 12, 13 weeks, a proper traffic management system for the whole town, not just that area where the works is going on. And we need that left turn. And that would bring confidence back to all the businesses. It's all about getting people into the town, enjoying their experience, and letting them get home again. And that's all we want. Like.
Another meeting is due to take place at the end of this week, involving the council, involving yourselves, involving Irish Water. Do you believe that can make progress?
Well, actually, the meeting is with the council and Irish Water. We won't be involved in that meeting. We had a meeting with them last Thursday, and they told us to be back just by Tuesday with proposals. The frustration has come out now, Donal. This is the reason now that we have kind of gone public on it. We got some word yesterday evening that the traffic management plan is now going to be put in place. That is good news, and we welcome it. This should be quicker. We shouldn't be chasing this all the time.
If you're trying to mediate your concerns through the council and get messages from Irish Water back via the council, would it not be better if Chamber was at that same table?
Donal, we've been actually meeting with Irish Water, the council and the contractor this last 16 weeks. Everything we're saying now, we said 16 weeks ago. We told them our worries, our issues with the system in place, and they weren't really taken on board. And again, it goes back to being proactive. We've been proactive. We came in, we brought local business in, we had local knowledge. It wasn't really taken on board, and now you're reactive because this hasn't worked.
SIPTU say they've no reason to be optimistic heading into talks with the HSE to try and avoid a strike by up to 10,000 health workers. They include porters, caterers and healthcare assistants who are due to walk off the job next Thursday at 30 hospitals across the country, including Letterkenny University Hospital. They say the HSE has failed to give them pay rises worth around €20 million, agreed through a job evaluation scheme. Talks between both parties are underway at the Workplace Relations Commission. SIPTU's Paul Bell says the silence from the Health Minister on the matter has been deafening.
We have heard no commentary with regard to the Minister for Health, Simon Harris, calling on these negotiations to bear some fruit. We also believe, and our members believe, is that there's some type of disrespect going on or lack of understanding of the services that they provide to hospitals. We don't want the public to understand the services we provide to hospitals on the basis that we are not there next Thursday.
The HSE has confirmed that a recruitment drive to return the pathology lab at Letterkenny University Hospital to full service has commenced. A letter had been issued to GPs and other medical professionals across Donegal informing them that the hospital had outsourced some tests to labs in Dublin due to insufficient staffing levels as a result of the HSE's ongoing recruitment ban. Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue received confirmation today that the positions have now been released and the outsourcing of pathology tests will be scaled down. He says the position the hospital was left in is an unacceptable reflection of poor management on the part of the government.
The pathology department had the right to doctor services across the county and other health services to indicate that they were no longer in a position to do pathology testing in the hospital, as has been the case, because of a failure to backfill staff who had retired or left the service due to the recruitment embargo. But now I have received from Health Service Management that those posts have been released and that over the coming couple of weeks those posts will commence to be filled, and therefore over the next short number of weeks that the outsourcing of pathology testing will be scaled down and all of it returned back to Letterkenny Hospital.
The recruitment process at times can be lengthy and it can be difficult to actually find qualified staff to do the work. Are management confident that in this instance that won't be a problem and they will be able to recruit the staff and recruit them speedily?
I believe there had been people identified to take on these roles. The problem was that the approval for them actually being hired and signed off on wasn't forthcoming, and as a result of that it got to the stage where pathology testing, some of it had to be outsourced. So it's unacceptable that, and very poor oversight and management by the government and the HSE that was allowed to happen. But it is welcome now that, albeit much too late in the day, those posts have been released and they will now start to be appointed, and over the next short number of weeks all testing can return to the pathology department in the hospital, which is an exceptionally efficient one and provides a tremendous service to our health service providers across the county and indeed in-house in the hospital as well.
A 21-year-old man has been arrested today in the Craigan area of Derry under the Terrorism Act. The man was arrested in connection with an ongoing investigation into dissident Republican activity, including a paramilitary-style assault which took place in the city on Friday last. He has been taken to Musgrave Serious Crime Suite for questioning. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Police in Derry say following searches yesterday in the Holyhall Road area, where a number of items were seized and taken away for forensic examination, a further search was carried out this morning at a property in the Craigan. A 21-year-old man was subsequently arrested on suspicion of dissident Republican activity linked to a paramilitary-style assault in the city. On Friday last, June 7th, a teenager was assaulted and found by police lying on the grass in the area of Holyhall Road with the junction of Craigan Road.
Vodafone customers in Donegal are currently experiencing connection problems with both mobile and fixed line services. On Twitter, the company says it's investigating potential disruption that is reported to be affecting a number of locations across the country. A Donegal deputy says a guarantee that the cost of the new National Children's Hospital will not continue to skyrocket is needed. It's emerged that more than €1 million has been spent on PR for the new hospital. Public relations firm Q4 PR has been paid more than €1 million in consultancy fees since 2015. It comes amid further warning that the cost of the National Children's Hospital could top €2 billion. Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson Deputy Pierce Doherty told The Dáil that the public deserves to know what implications the cost overruns will have on other projects.
The public want to know, what is the final price of this project? How much more is this project going to overrun? And we need answers to that. The public demand straight answers from this government as to what projects will be cut or delayed as a result of these overruns, Minister.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Check out the great range of Father's Day gift ideas for your dad, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past five and time's latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with golf, and the 119th US Open is underway at Pebble Beach. It's the very early stages and Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry and Graham McDowell, they're all out on the course. Masters champion Tiger Woods is one of the later starters and won't begin until around 10 o'clock Irish time. Well, on the course at the moment, McIlroy has played four holes. He's on level par. He bogeyed his first hole, but he's just had a birdie. Graham McDowell's level par through two, and Shane Lowry has just dropped a shot. He's one over through two. Leading the way in the early stages is Scott Piercy. The American's off to a great start after seven holes. He had three birdies and an eagle to sit on five under par. He's two shots clear of John Rahm, who's playing along with Rory McIlroy. Rahm birdied his first three holes and he sits on three under par through four holes. On one under par are a group of players, including Eric Van Rooyen, who've played on the Irish Open last year in Ballyluffin. Torbjørn Olesen's also in one under. And Phil Mickelson, who's going for the Grand Slam, he just needs the US Open to go with the other three majors. He's just played two holes as well. He's on even par. Well, as I said, Tiger Woods is out a little bit later. He's attempting to win a fourth US Open title. The 15-time major champion is out alongside Britain's Justin Rose and Jordan Spieth in California. Woods is happy to be performing at a good level, having come back from back problems.
Hypothetically, let's say I give myself 10 years, that's 40 major championships. That's a lot of majors. And now the trick is, now can I keep myself healthy enough and strong enough and fast enough to endure all that, considering what my body has gone through?
Tiger Woods there, he tees off around 10 o'clock Irish time. Moving on to soccer, and Manchester City will begin the defence of their Premier League title away to West Ham. It'll be played at lunchtime on Saturday, August the 10th. Before that, runners-up Liverpool kick off at newly promoted Norwich on the Friday night. Aston Villa begin their return to the top flight at Spurs, while Sheffield United there away to Bournemouth. The opening weekend will also see Manchester United hosting Chelsea. That's on Sunday, 11th of August. And for the first time in the competition's history, the schedule will incorporate a winter break in February that concludes and the title will be concluded on the 17th of May 2020. In other news, Eden Hazard will be presented as a Real Madrid player this evening, following his £130 million move from Chelsea. Real believe more than 70,000 fans could welcome him to the Bernabeu. And recent Republic of Ireland call-up Luca Connell could be on his way to Celtic. The Scottish Premiership champions have opened discussions with his club Bolton over a potential transfer. Connell can leave for just training compensation as he's still 18, but Celtic appear willing to pay a fee. And Aston Villa, they're on the verge of breaking their transfer record. They're set to complete a €25 million capture of Brazilian striker Wesley Moraes from Club Bruges. Elsewhere, Slaven Bilic says he was convinced to take the West Brom manager's job by their desire to return to the Premier League. The former Croatia and West Ham boss has signed a two-year deal at the Hawthorns. At the Ladies World Cup, Brazil are looking to take a huge step towards the last 16 tonight. Their Group C encounter with Australia is just underway in Montpellier. In Gaelic games, Gary O'Donnell replaces injured wingback Kieran Malloy in the Galway defence for Sunday's Connacht football final with Roscommon. It's Kevin Walsh's only change from their win over Sligo. His Roscommon counterpart Anthony Cunningham has made three alterations, with Jermot Murta, Conor Devaney and captain Enda Smith all coming into the side. In motorsport and Formula One, Ferrari will not appeal against Sebastian Vettel's five-second penalty, which saw him lose Sunday's Canadian Formula One Grand Prix. The German was demoted to second behind Lewis Hamilton after he was punished for rejoining the track in an unsafe fashion. Ferrari had lodged their intention to challenge the stewards' controversial verdict following the race. Vettel trails Hamilton by 62 points in the championship standings. In cycling, Chris Froome is expected to remain in intensive care for at least two more days following his crash at the Critérium du Dauphiné. The four-time Tour de France champion will miss next month's race after breaking his leg, elbow and ribs. He's undergone surgery at a hospital in Saint-Étienne. And finally for this evening in rugby, Israel Folau has been offered a route back to international rugby with Tonga. The fullback had his contracts with both Rugby Australia and club side Waratahs terminated after he posted homophobic comments on social media in April. Folau would have to sit out international rugby for 3 years before taking part in an Olympic Sevens qualifying tournament, which would allow him to compete in the 2023 World Cup. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, there are fears over a potential threat to more post offices in Donegal after a decision by Ampost to close the one in Kilcar. The move comes many months after the multiple closures of post offices throughout the country and further afield. Kilcar Post Office effectively serves the entire parish of Kilcar, as there is no other post office within the district. Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says this has undoubtedly shocked the local community, and the chances of keeping it open seem even more unlikely than before.
Now they've been told they can either go to Killybegs on one side or to Carrick and Glencolumbkill on the other. I do not accept this. And of course, the last time around, even though it wasn't helpful, we had a review panel and submissions could be made. Now there's no word of a review panel this time. And in fact, they've gone further and they're saying that the post office will close at the end of the month.
For weather now, mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers and moderate to fresh northwesterly breezes. There will be further scattered showers tonight and some patches of mist or fog. Cool overnight with lowest temperatures of 3 to 6 degrees and light variable breezes. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, as the row over fishing rights around Rockall continues, Donegal fishermen fear their business could be in jeopardy. Negotiations between the Irish and Scottish governments are continuing after Scotland last Friday threatened enforcement action against Irish fishing vessels found to be within a 12-mile radius of Rockall. Highland Radio understands that following an extensive discussion earlier on today's 9 till noon show, that Irish Water is now investigating the possibility of allowing a left turn at the junction of Pierce Road and Paddy Hart Road in Letterkenny. Businesses in the town say they are at their wits' end as a result of the roadworks being carried out by the utility, with a downturn of up to 30% being reported. The HSE has confirmed that a recruitment drive to return the pathology lab at Letterkenny University Hospital to full service has commenced. A letter had been issued to GPs and other medical professionals across Donegal, informing them that the hospital had outsourced some tests to labs in Dublin due to insufficient staffing levels as a result of the HSE's ongoing recruitment ban. And a 21-year-old man has been arrested today in the Craigan area of Derry under the Terrorism Act. The man was arrested in connection with an ongoing investigation into dissident Republican activity, including a paramilitary-style assault, which took place in the city on Friday last. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 13th of June. The death has taken place of Maura Kennedy Shiel, Calla, Drumarda, Letterkenny, and formerly of Chaffpool, Tubbercurry, County Sligo. Her remains will repose at her home today and tomorrow from 4 p.m. with rosary nightly at 9 p.m. Removal on Saturday to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, Letterkenny, for funeral mass at 12 noon, with interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. House strictly private, please, after 9:30. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Scleroderma Society. The death has taken place of Ruby Scanlon, née Hepburn, Kilross, Stranorder. House strictly private, please, at the request of the deceased. Funeral from her residence on Saturday for service at 12 noon in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Raphoe, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Gibson Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Sammy Lapsley, formerly of 297 St. Eunan's Terrace, Raphoe, reposing at Gibson's Funeral Home Convoy until 10 o'clock this evening. Funeral service there tomorrow afternoon at 1:15, afterwards to St. Eunan's Cathedral, Raphoe, for burial in the family plot. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Barnes View Ward Patients Comfort Fund, care of Gibson Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Margaret Haughey, née Mullen, 35, Ashgrove Park, Strabane, formerly of Churchview, Strabane. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred at his residence of Cornelius Martin, Bunnington, Glenvar. Requiem Mass in St Mary's Star of the Sea Church, Glenvar, at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. The death has taken place of Hilary Moore, the Dleeb, Letterkenny. Her remains will repose at her residence from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Funeral from there on Sunday afternoon at 2:30 for service in Conwell Parish Church, Letterkenny, at 3 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Gortley Graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to care of the aged, care of any family member, or Terence McClintock Funeral Director. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has taken place in London of Eamon Gallagher, formerly of Core Point, Letchimica Ward. Funeral Mass will take place on Saturday morning in St Bridget's Church, Letchimica Ward, at 11 o'clock, followed by interment of cremains in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Heart Foundation, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Andy Elliott, Screen, Donegal Town. His remains will repose at his residence from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock this evening, and tomorrow and Saturday from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral service in Lahey Parish Church at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Donegal Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of George Irwin Funeral Directors, or any family member. The death has occurred of Bert Byrne, Elmwood Terrace, Killybegs. His remains are reposing at the residence of his daughter Laura Gormley, Castlereagh, Brookless, until 11 o'clock this evening and from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. tomorrow. Removal on Saturday morning at 10:30 to St Mary's Church, Killybegs, for 11 o'clock funeral mass. Burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the National Council for the Blind. The death has occurred of Augustin Gallagher, Mina Cahan, Inver. His remains will repose at his home today and tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. with Rosary Nightly at 10 p.m. Removal on Saturday for funeral mass at 12 noon in the Church of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Frosses, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place in Belfast of Mary Rose McDevitt, formerly of Lower Salhagrain, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at the family home. Funeral mass in St Julian's Cathedral tomorrow at 12 noon, followed by burial in Conwall Cemetery. And the death has taken place of Willie Bradley, Clondlash, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral from there at 10:15 on Saturday morning to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard.